are tuned into KY Thompson Books, the place to be to listen to compelling stories written by me. I am author and host KY Thompson. On this episode, we will continue through the journey of the cardboard sign through Laura's eyes. The cardboard sign, Laura's View, is book number 2 in the cardboard sign series and can be purchased where most ebooks are sold, or by visiting kythompson.com. For a printed copy, visit barnesandnoble.com. Notebook entry number 32. I waited at the front steps of the school for Casey, hoping she arrived on time. The cafeteria was serving French toast, sausage, and grapes for breakfast. I wanted to get my food while it was hot. I decided to give Casey a few more minutes. 5 minutes passed, still no Casey. I went ahead and got my breakfast and proceeded to our bench to eat. As I happily munched on my breakfast, Keela Wells and Margot Panner walked up and stood right in front of me. I continued to eat. Keela sat beside me and touched my hair. No ma'am. Please do not touch me. I am a quiet person, but I am not the one to play over. I put down my fork and pushed Keela's hands away from me. Keela knocked my tray over, and before I realized it, Keela's face was on the bench with my hand on top. After a few minutes, I let Keela go. She and Margot scurried away in embarrassment. Lucky for them, there were not many students outside, but I'm sure someone saw the incident. Brandy says sometimes you have to let the people know you are not the one. I usually play it cool, but do not ever mess with my food. By the time I made it to my homeroom class, Keela had already reported me to the homeroom teacher. How shocking. I explained my case and apologized to Mr. Bowling for my behavior. My apology was certainly not sincere. I am glad I pressed Keela's face to the bench. Her squiggling underneath the pressure of my hand felt good. Probably better than it should have. Keela had it coming for quite some time. Mr. Bowen gave us both a warning. He knows Keela has been bothering and picking on me all year. Keela should have received more than a warning. After class, I told Keela I am no longer playing with her. If she wants her butt kicked, I will be glad to hand out the services. I laugh at the fear displayed on Keela's face. This time, I could tell she knew I meant business. Spring 2014, notebook entry number 33. Mom and I have had the same room to ourselves since Brandy and Miss Hampton moved across the country to Arizona. That all changed today around lunchtime. Mrs. Jackson came in with a very young mother and her little daughter. The young mother looked just a year or two older than Charlize. If I guessed, I assume the little girl is maybe 7 years of age, just judging by her height and missing teeth. I could not help thinking, she is too young to be homeless. But then again, I guess so am I. The little girl had one wispy ponytail with bleached blonde hair, and her mom had the same colored hair. Both had piercing blue eyes, and the young mother's eyes were so piercing it was hard for me to look directly at her. Mom noticed. We both looked at each other, talking with our eyes, but we did not utter a word. Mrs. Jackson introduced the little girl and her mother as Asa and Tegan Carr. Asa and Tegan had the same black trash bags that Mom and I had when we moved into the transitional halfway house. The only difference was their trash bags were very small. They appeared to not have many items of clothing. Black trash bags must be the standard luggage for struggling people. I wonder about Tegan and Asa's story. Everyone in this house has a story, and all of the stories are sad. Asa approached me and handed me her doll. Then she introduced her prized possession. It was the sweetest thing I have seen in a long time. Asa is so innocent. I hope life for her and Tegan has not been too rough. Asa told me her doll's name is Namely Ann. Because she looks so crazy now, Asa calls her Sad Ann. I wonder if Sad Ann reflects the way Asa feels. Tegan kept apologizing for Asa talking so much. She did not have to apologize. Mom and I do not mind. This room is as much theirs as it is ours. Tegan said where they came from, she would get in big trouble for Asa's behavior. I have not seen Asa do anything to cause her to get in trouble. Mom quickly got that thought out of Tegan's brain. Well, this place is not like that at all. Yes, there are older people here, but Asa is a child, and she is not screaming or anything, just curious and polite. She should be fine. Tegan gave Mom a hug. The hug was definitely unexpected. Mom is not a hugger, but she reciprocated the gesture and hugged Tegan back. Mom knows not having your own home is a difficult pill to swallow. Tegan is so young. How long have they been homeless? Mrs. Jackson, with her bubbly personality, came back to introduce Tegan and Asa to the rest of the housemates. When they left the room, I whispered to Mom that we have never lived with anyone of another race before. Yeah, we live with other races at the city mission shelter, but we shared a room with dozens of other families. The living quarters were tight and people barely spoke to each other. I think everyone was ashamed to be where they are in life. The city mission shelter did not feel like home, and I did not consider us living there. We were merely just surviving. In the last few months, the transitional halfway house feels more inviting and like home. For a while, after Brandy and her mom moved out, Mom and I even had our own room, so yeah, this feels like we are sharing our space, but I know the room is not ours. We do not own anything. Mom shrugged her shoulders and said, struggles come in all forms and sizes, and love does too. Notebook entry number 34. Tegan recognized Mom from the corner of Woodrow Street. I suppose Mom is somewhat of a well-known figure in the city. She's just trying to provide for us. A lot of people see her as a freeloader. I have heard the comments at school, and they are awful. Even Tegan said she could never stand on the corner begging for money. I think Tegan's comment offended Mom a little bit. There was no need for Tegan to ball up her nose at Mom. Her attitude was totally ridiculous. It is not like she is doing any better than us. I wonder how Brandy would have handled this situation. I'm going to call her. I need advice from someone closer to my age, and unfortunately, I cannot ask Casey. This whole confidentiality clause is a real drag. Besides Tegan's attitude, there is more I need to discuss with Brandy. Yesterday, as I walked Asa to the store, I noticed a group of guys watching us. Nervously, I spoke, but Asa acted like she knew one of the guys. She kept turning around as we walked towards the store. I instructed her to look forward and watch where she was walking. After we made it to the store and proceeded to leave, those same guys had moved closer to the store. I was scared, but I kept my eyes straight ahead. Asa continued looking at them, but she did not say a word, and no one in the group spoke to her either. The first guy in the group was very tall and skinny, with super pale skin, a scruffy beard, brown eyes, and black hair. The second guy in the group looked almost like a replica of the first guy, but his hair was strawberry blonde. Maybe those two are brothers. I memorized the faces of everyone in that suspicious group because my gut told me I should. The last guy in the group was stocky in size and had dark brown curly hair. His complexion was a little darker than mine. This morning, I saw the dark-haired, twin-looking guy walking by the house again. He has been walking back and forth all day. I probably should not tell Brandy either because she does not live here anymore, but something is wrong. This guy makes me feel uncomfortable. I have not told Mom. I do not want her to worry. Trying to get us back on our feet is all she should have to worry about now. Mom went on 2 job interviews recently, but both jobs denied her without explanation. Mom is really trying hard. If I could quit school, I would, just to help her make some money for the family. Why do I need school anyway? Mom got an associate's degree, and she still cannot find a job. Notebook entry number 35. Tegan, Asa, and Mrs. Jackson went somewhere in the van. Mom was in the lobby watching television. I used the opportunity to snoop through Tegan's things. I cannot put my finger on her, but I know something is wrong. I was trying to move fast. Mom is not much of a TV watcher and will get bored and turn it off in a minute. I knew I was working with limited time. Inside Tegan's dresser, under the t-shirts, was a picture of a man. It was the exact man that was in the suspicious group, with black hair and a scruffy beard. The one that keeps walking back and forth all day. If I have seen this man walking by recently, I know Tegan has seen him too. Who is this mystery man? On the back of the photos was written the initials and date, APD. 2/14/2012. The picture was taken on Valentine's Day. Is this Tegan's boyfriend? Asa's dad? If it was Asa's dad, she would have spoken to him the day we walked to the store, right? He would acknowledge his child, right? I know I am a child myself, but something in the milk is not clean. That is Aunt Henrietta's favorite saying. Notebook entry number 36. Casey gave me a big hug today. Casey is definitely a hugger. She could sense something was off with me. Sadly, I cannot confide in her about this situation, or many situations, as a matter of fact. I assured her everything was okay by giving her a high five. However, the little wrinkle on her nose let me know She did not believe I was actually okay, but she did not press the issue. One day, when this whole homeless life is just a fragment of my imagination, I will tell Casey everything that happened. I feel like she should know. She has been so concerned and basically welcomed us into her family. We have met so many people because of Casey. But let me be honest. Our situation is really none of her business. I still think she should know, though. I just have to be prepared for our business to get out. Casey is going to unknowingly tell someone else. She is a bit naive. But then again, maybe Casey is not. She barely utters a word about her father. Mom said no one is going to tell you all of their secrets. Well, that's it. Thank you for tuning into KY Thompson Books. If you love this show and want to help others find it, give this podcast a rating and review. Don't forget to subscribe and recommend KY Thompson Books to your friends, neighbors, and everyone. Tune in each week. To find out more, visit kythompson.com. To donate, click the link in the show notes. You can find me, KY Thompson, on Facebook and Instagram at KY Thompson Books. Until next time, thank you for listening.